This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hello, you're listening to Good Things, the show where we speak to good people who are doing good things. I'm Darshan Johan. My guest on today's episode is Cikgu Siti Rahayu Baharin, one of the co-founders of Buku Jalanan Chow Kid. She believes that education is a human right and that everyone, regardless of class, should have access to proper education. Welcome to the show, Siti.
Thank you very much for inviting me and having me.
Let's start by talking about this NGO, this initiative that you started many years ago, and that is Buku Jalanan Chow Kid. What exactly is this initiative all about?
Okay, Buku Jalanan Chow Kid, it's not me who started it, but it's me and a few friends, a few colleagues. It started with Buku Jalanan, the idea of Buku Jalanan, where we want to reclaim public space, but it happened in other spaces like Buku Jalanan Shah Alam, where people read and we bring books to public domain and then just allow anyone to borrow books and everything. But when it comes to Chow Kid, right, why is it Buku Jalanan Chow Kid? Because when we went to Chow Kid, there, you know, like Chow Kid is very famous for CSR work. If anybody want to do good charity or anything, right, they would go down to Chow Kid because they thought that in Chow Kid, there are a lot of homeless, and they thought that in Chow Kid, there's a big issues of poverty. So that's what people think. So it is like, hey, let's go down to Chow Kid. For example, if you have extra food and everything, bring to Chow Kid and give it to them. Yeah, it is with the right intentions always. And people in Chow Kid do need it. And yes, people in Chow Kid live under the poverty line. So there's a lot of soup kitchen. So we used to volunteer and observe the activity of soup kitchen around Chow Kid, right? Mm-hmm. And we figure out there's a lot of children while their parents are queuing for food. And we were thinking, why not if we bring books, you know, and then read with the children while they are queuing. So that's the basic idea, that we want to read with the children and to bring knowledge or any reading activity to the children on the street. That was at that time. So that is why it is called Buku Jalanan Chow Kid. You know, when we started, we bring like the, you know, the IKEA bag, right?
Right.
Of books. And then it
the
turned
big blue
into,
one.
Yeah, the big blue one. And then boxes. That is our library. That is our first library. And then we bring boxes of books, and children started to ask to help them with homework. And then we start bringing in color pencil, you know, we start doing activity with the children. It's evolved by understanding what is the need of the children. And later they ask us to help them with homework. And we figure out that among the children, there are those who cannot attend formal education.
Right.
They cannot attend government school. And the reason being is because of documentation issues. We figure that out. And later we decided that what if we open up our own school so that every children would not be left out, every children would have access to education. So right now, right in 2022, what Buku Jalanan have is that we are running as a space, a safe space for children, where in our space, children can come at whatever time they want it. And we provided food there. We provided safe space for children to hang around. There's a shelf of books. We can call it library nowadays. And then we run a school as well for the stateless children.
Right.
So basically, that's about all that we do in Chow Kid. We are facilitating the life of the children. You know what, Dashwin? I did not prefer to call Buku Jalanan Chow Kid as a charity organization because we're not. We are just, how to say this? You know, a lot of children have a lot of access to a lot of things, but our children in Chow Kid might not have access to this and that. So we want to provide that access, to provide that platform. You know, if it's very hard for them to have their own chef, book chef at home, so we provide that at Buku Jalanan Chow Kid. If they, if there's no hang around space in Chow Kid, right, because it's a business area, it's not it's not designed for children. So we want to provide that safe space, that, that the place for children where, you know, they have all the access, Wi-Fi, at the age of digital classes and everything, right? Mm-hmm. So we want to provide them for the children. We are like the extended family who provide for them, whichever platform that will create into quality education of the children and also sustainable livelihood to all of the children in childcare. Yeah.
Right. Why did you decide to start this initiative? Was there like a specific light bulb moment? What were you doing prior to, you know, co-founding Buku Jalanan Childcare? What was that early discussions like? You say you started it with a few friends and whatnot, right? What was that light bulb moment that made y'all go, okay, this is something we need to do and we need to start working on it now?
My background is I'm a teacher.
Right.
I'm a teacher, but I graduated, right? I graduated in political science. So I studied politics. Yeah. So people thought that politics always about political parties and everything. Mm-hmm. But for me, you know, things that you do in society is political. It's always political. Absolutely. So when I was a school teacher, it's something political. I want to educate my children. So when I was a school teacher as well, right, I remember there was this big flood in Kelantan. So me and my sister and a few teachers' friends, right? What we did was that we initiated a flood relief initiative. So being in the community, right, is something that we really love to do. The light bulb moment is that I'm always a reader, and a few friends who was in the initial stage of having Buku Jalanan is also readers. So from that, we decided that, hey, let us bring reading material. It is something just like that, you know.
Yeah,
you know,
something very organic.
Yeah, it's very organic. It's not planned. It's idealistic.
And that's fantastic. We all need, you know, we need idealism. We need more idealism. We need people who just, you know, wake up one day and just say, hey, you know, let's help the community and you know, not think much about it and just do it. I think that's fantastic. But why education, Siti? Why is this particular cause important to you? Because when we talk about, you brought up the term politics, right? And when we talk about politics, right, there are many issues we can talk about. Women's rights, we can talk about, you know, racism, so many different aspects to politics, economic justice and whatnot. But education is something that is very important to you. Why so?
How are people going to arrive to the idea of social justice? Mm. Like, you know, gender equality, racism, economic sustainability and everything, or even climate change when they're not educated,
right?
When they did not have knowledge on certain things. Definitely the basic things, right? The basic thing of human being and the basic thing of development is to provide equality education to everyone. So, right, me myself, right, I came from a very small kampung in Kedah. Mm. And I think it's 2022, not a lot of people in my kampung speak English well. Mm. My parents did not. But, you know, since the beginning, my parents are those people who always told us, the siblings, right, that educations are the platform that will bring us everywhere. So it is about, I was brought up with the idea that education can bring me everywhere.
Absolutely. You know?
And my parents, I think, has proven that to me. Ever since I was in school up until now, because my dad used to work in school I think he was a clerk in school. So he used to bring good literature books that student just dumped and didn't want to take, right? So I grew up reading good literature, stuff like that. So it's happened to me. Education transformed my life. And I believe, you know, poverty, one of the ways to eradicate and elevate poverty is through education. That is why, right, I believe this is the path that I'm good at. And it doesn't require a lot of money since the pocket's always empty. But I know, right, education can be brought to everyone at any cost.
Right.
And it should be brought to everyone. So that is why I choose this path.
Did you face any challenges when setting up Buku Jalanan Chowkit? Because now it has expanded. Like you said, you all even have a school for stateless children. It's a safe space. Kids can just come and hang out, especially underprivileged kids with no access to libraries and books and even friends and that sort of community. They can all come and hang out in this safe space. But take me back to when you were first starting this initiative, right? What were the challenges that you faced?
There's a lot of challenges when, setting up an organization, especially. I'm always a teacher. When I graduated, I landed a job as a teacher. So I'm not good at management side at all. Seriously. So building up, structuring up an organization is always a problem to me up until now. We're still learning. There's a lot of learning is happening around us. And then, we did not know a lot of things. And if people really go down deeper, check everything about Buku Jalanan, right, scrutinize one aspect over another, right, they will find a lot of flaws, seriously. But we're learning. It's a process of learning. I don't want to be a person who only want to do something when I'm already ready, when I know everything, because then the work would not start. It is like, when we started Buku Jalanan, right, we started it in late 2015, August 2015, and we only have our bank account in June 2016.
Right.
Before that, we did not run on any financial help from anyone, right? Because we bring old books and then we get in-kind donations from people around. But later, we know that we need some money to run activities for the children. So we learn how to do crowdfunding, how to everything, basically.
Right.
How to everything, the rules in regard of children and everything. So that's among the challenges. I mean, whether we, right, want to always learn, relearn and unlearn everything and in order for us to better serve our children in Child Kenya. In the initial stage, right, we wrote in our own personal Facebook, we wrote in Buku Jalanan Facebook,
right,
how much money that we need. For example, right, when we want to renovate our space, right, we go to Canva, of course, and then make a poster,
right,
that we need 20,000 to renovate the space. Because, right, whatever we do, we always share in our Facebook. Mm. It's always shared. It is like weekly reports of everything that's happening. So we have crowds. We have people who read the story, who understand the plight, and they want to come. I talked to this one person. He was the... I think he was a person in finance, and he is still in finance, I think. So I met him and I asked him, can I learn on how to do business, on how, things, how can I generate money for Buku Jalanan and everything, right? Mm-hmm. And what he told me, right, really struck me up until now. He said this, Rahayu, not everyone can do the works that you guys are doing,
Right, absolutely.
And not everyone can do the works that we are doing. He said that he's doing, people in economies are doing, people in business are doing. So he said this, Rahayu, you do what you do best. We do what we do best. And then we collaborate. And then from there, so, with the trust of people like this, it is some things that really motivate us to work further. So right now, our rental is paid by Julie's Biscuit. Julie's Biscuit was beyond amazing since the beginning. When in 2017, right, when we decided to have our own space, I remember writing a 2 pages of proposal only, right? And then we met Julie's Biscuits, and then we show it to them. They were flipping. We didn't have any pitching session at all at that time. So they just flipped through it. Because what happened is that people from Julie's Biscuit, right? The owner of Julie's Biscuit themselves, they come to the ground, they look at the work that we do, they volunteer with us without we even know that they are from Julie's Biscuits in the beginning. But then we created a relationship when they saw that, okay, among the things that they can help is that they can help to promote us by having a video of the works that we do. So from that, right, our relationship starts. And when they heard that we want to have our own space, while flipping through the proposal, and suddenly he said that, okay, Rahayu, we're going to pay your rental for 2 years. And right now, right, I think our organization has been renting the space for like 3 years and they're still paying for it. So that is how things are done. Right. And I really love this kind of shared responsibility mm-hmm. among in the society, because you know, if we always say it took a village to raise a child, this is the idea. This is right. How we do it.
Okay, we do need to go for a very quick break. On the show with me today is Siti Rahayu Baharin. She's one of the co-founders of Buku Jalanan Chowkit. She's a teacher and educator, very passionate about education. After the break, I'll be asking her about her philosophy of education. We'll be back with more on Good Things, BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Good Things. I'm Dashran Johan, and on the show with me today is Cikgu Siti Rahayu Baharin, one of the co-founders of Buku Jalanan Chowkit. So Siti, a lot of people's idea of education, right? When we just ask, you know, friends and peers and aunties and uncles and all of that, the idea of education, they look at education through the prism of examinations and grades. You know, you need to get good grades, you need to, you know, get straight A's, and you need to be number one in class and things like that. But what does education mean to you? How do you approach education?
You know, when I was in school, right, as a teacher, mm-hmm. I remember, because I was in boarding school, right. So Children's was with this idea that they need to get straight A's, and then later there's A plus. So they have this idea in mind that they need to get straight A plus. I remember this. This is during PMR, right? One of the child, right? She came to me and say, "I am really sorry, teacher. I only get 8 A and 1 B, and B is English." I was teaching English at that time, and then I was like, "What? 8 A and you're saying sorry?" And I was like, "This is so wrong."
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so wrong. That's right. I myself, right, never score any straight A's in my examinations. and during my time, right, it's aggregates. Okay, so I went to back my SPM sets, right. Mm-hmm. I think I only got like around 4 A's, but when you accumulate everything, it's still aggregate 1. So I managed to go to the university. See, I mean, I'm not a high flyer. And right now I'm serving back the community.
Right.
You know, so if education's right, it's only determined by your grades and everything. So you're not building people. You're building robots who have to succumb to one sort of transcript that they need to memorize the transcript, and then they need to, you know, say whatever that is being input to them. That's that.
Right.
I believe, right, that education should be more, I don't know, the definitions of education itself, right, should be determined and defined by the person themselves. Right. That is why, right, in Buku Jalanan, right, we don't want to define to our children what is success look like, what does good education means to them. No, we want to provide platform, give them whatever that is suitable for them to reach that quality education, you know, idea. And then from there, right, let them to be able to think. And from there, they define, oh, this is what best for me. This is what good for me. This is what I can use to to contribute back to the society. Because, right, I remember when I was in the university, right, my professor asked, why is it you guys are in my class? Why is it you guys are learning? And then, you know, like all the professor, he always say this, do not answer, go back and think and answer to yourself. The next day, right, when we were sitting for the exam, right, it came out in the exam. That simple question, it came out in the exam. You know, and then we start answering. I was really shocked at that time to answer right. that. And I was like, how are we going to answer? That was in my master degree level. But then later, right, my professor, when he was discussing back the topic with us, right, he said that he really want to see why is it, who among his students would say that he is, education is the platform for the persons, right, to build a society, to give back to society. He want to see who can talk beyond grades. Yeah, he want to see who can actually relate education to livelihood. Actually, education is about livelihoods. It's not about your grade. It is about the sustainability of the life ecosystem and its evolve around society, about around people around you, about you. And yeah, it's very systemic. That is why, right, if you only compound educations to reading, writing, listening, and then good grades, yeah, you'll get robots like what we have.
And in this effort to try and sort of, you know, break out of this robot mold or to try to, you know, inspire and create, empower students to become more wholesome, to have more wholesome understanding of the world and whatnot. I came across, you know, one of the subjects that is taught at your center, and that is called A Wonder a Day. You want to tell me a little bit about this? How did this idea come about and what exactly is this subject about?
Dashan, when you're young, right, go back and tell and ask your mother what are the kind of questions that you ask.
Right.
You know, some questions that your mom will be like, ah, alamak, how to answer this? You know?
True, yeah.
Yeah, because children, right, they always have questions. They are always curious. They are curious human beings. They can simply ask you questions like, for example, Cikgu, which one come first? You know, the question, which one come first, right? Or any questions, things that they observe. And the best thing that children love to ask is, how do children are made?
Right.
You know, stuff like that, right? They ask a lot of questions. So A Wonder a Day is about whatever that they're wondering. So when they wonder about something, right, there will be teachers who facilitate their learning and explore that with them. They're doing their research. For example, right, for this semester, we went by semester at Buku Jalanan. For this semester, right, the themes that the children have to do is on identity. So they learn about their identity. The youngest group, right, their project is a tour, happy tour. They call it happy tour around Chowkit. So what happened was that, right, they brought people, they're very brave, they brought people. I think we advertised that in our social media, who want to join the walkabout of Buku Jalanan Chowkit children. So this happy class, right, they bring people and walk around Chowkit to places that is important to their life in Chowkit. For example, they bring the group of people who come to their tour to their hopscotch play area.
Right.
And then they brought the people to also Pasar Sudirman, Arcade Sudirman, somewhere that they go and buy their stuff and everything. So that's amongst things that we try to empower our children in Chowkit, you know. Whenever they have anything in mind that they wonder, that they're curious about, right, go on and explore. It's about explorations. And I believe education is about explorations. You need to explore. When you explore, you know more. You're not going to restrict the children, cocoon up the children into a syllabus designed by adults.
Now, Siti, tell me about the realities of the lives of the students who come to Buku Jalanan Chowkit.
In Buku Jalan Coklat, we have 100 children registered with us.
Right.
So there's a lot of color in our children's life. For example, right, we have, so out of this 100, we have 40, which is stateless, 60 are Malaysian. And those Malaysians are usually the urban poor community residing around Coklat. So the 60 family who are Malaysian, right, they attended government school, so they went to school all around. But living in Coklat, right, it's not easy because rental is very high. You live in a small cramped room. I know one of my friends say, Rahayu, Japan also live in small cramped room, but they live, but it's not a culture of Malaysian,
right,
to live in cram room, and then you manage to live a very minimalistic life or anything. When small room, it's not even a house, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a room sometime for the children. So imagine how would the children explore? You know, life exploration is always right. about. It's always, how to say, it's always cocooned into one space only. And then living in Coklat itself, like I said, Coklat is a business area. And there's a lot of things happening around Coklat. And it's not an ideal space to brought up a child. It's not.
Right.
It's never. There's no playground even in Coklat. There's no safe space in Coklat. So children's are not, it is not a good place for children to grow up, basically, for me, I think.
Yeah.
But we want to make sure that our children in Coklat are proud that, hey, I belong to this community in Coklat, but I was able to grow up becoming a very good citizen, a very good human being, a good human capital, just because I have people who believe in me, you know, stuff like that. So that is our marginal children's, Malaysians, marginalized children's. So, and then we also have stateless children. My stateless children, right? We have two types in Coklat. One are those parents are economic migrants. So the child was born here in Malaysia, but they can't get any citizenship. They do have documentations. They have birth certificates, Malaysian birth certificate, but it's written then non-citizen. So when it is non-citizen, you cannot attend school. You are denied every access of Malaysian. You know, when they went to hospital, right, they always charged with the foreigners' fees. Imagine that. And then another type of statelessness is that we have three children who have been abandoned since birth and they don't have any proof of birth. So with these children, right, they can't be even registered. They don't even have any identification with them. Just recently, we vaccinate the children's, right? During the vaccinations, I'm very thankful for the doctor who did it. They're very kind because, right, you know, for us to go to vaccinations, we need to have My Sejahtera. And with My Sejahtera, we need to have ID, right?
Right.
My child did not have. So the doctor said, okay, if the child did not have ID, let us just put the birth date of the child. So we asked him, so what is your birthday, right? And he was like, you know, I was there witnessing it. And I was like, oh my God, you know. And I was like, okay, let's do like this. Let us put... Because the vaccinations day was on the 4th of April. So we said, let us put 4th of April, you know?
Right.
Stuff like that. So that is the reality of life faced by my children in Coklat. And they inherited the cycle of poverty. They inherited a lot from their parents, you know? And we want to help the children to break away from the cycle, but for them to build a family, not be ashamed of where they started. We want to do that. I'm about to cry, actually.
Well, I'm sorry. I may put you on the spot to make you rethink and share all those realities. Oh God. But it just shows that you are really invested in this, and you know, it is something that you're really working and dedicating your lives towards too. And all of us, we need to understand, you know, like the realities of what these children go through, and I'm really glad that you're highlighting that. Now, Siti, you know, you're a teacher and educator. As a teacher, you are always imparting knowledge towards your kids. But I want to ask you, is there an important lesson you've learned from your students, from your kids over the years?
I learn from them. I learn from them every day, every day, seriously, you know, on why is it you need to be kind? Right. Why is it you need to learn to understand? You know, being in childcare, being with the children helped me to reflect what a bad teacher I was when I was in school. Right. So when I was in school as a teacher, I just graduated at that time. So my idea of education is one-way street. You know, I'm right. a product of Malaysian education system. It's always one-way street. But later, right, by being in the community, by being with the children, I know that education is never one size fits all. It needs to be tailored to everyone based on their individual self.
Right.
So that is what I learned from my children, that one, what I experience might not be the same like what other experience. So if you want to empower me, you know, because I always have the idea that we need to help people.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
But what I learned from my children is that it's not help that people need. What my children needs is a person who want to help empower them, who right. have the compassion to empower them. That's the most important term. Helps, right? When we want to help, we need to ask whether we want to help because we pity them or is it because of sympathy? So I think, right, we need to move from pity to sympathy to empathy. Empathy is when you feel like you are in their shoes and you want to do something. But compassion's, right, try to empower and being compassionate through the empowerment, I think is what you want to be alongside with them, building them and facilitating them. It's not about teaching. It is about facilitating the journey of empowerment of a child. That's important. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I learned that from my children.
Now, I want to ask you about something that you perhaps don't really like talking about. You always keep under the radar when it comes to this. You are one of the co-founders of Parti Muda, am I correct? What exactly inspired this move?
Yeah, I don't usually talk much about politics. As much as I think that livelihood is very political, so
right,
you need to educate, you need to literate people on politics in order for us to endure the betterment of life for all of us, right? So yeah, I do co-founded Parti Muda with a few other friends. Mm-hmm. The reason being for me was because, you know, I've been working for the betterment of my children, the empowerment of my children. To the point that I figure out that I need something else as well to change. You know, there need to be political wheels.
Absolutely.
It struck me when in 2018, I was so happy that the government changed and everything. And then we saw hopes there in our children's, right, that might be the new progressive government will open up space for every children, for education of every children. But it is not there. Right. So I was like, when Sadiq was talking to us, YB Sadiq was talking to us about having a movement. It started with the idea of movement, actually. You want to have a movement, young people movement. I was fascinated by the idea that of the change that I can do for my children. So that's what makes me agree to the movement at first. And then when they decided that it need to be a political party, right, I was like, okay, let's try, let's do this. But you know what, Ashwin, when I was in politics, right, I don't know. I think I'm too idealistic. I don't know how to play politics like everyone play politics.
Right.
I thought that politics wouldn't need a lot of money. It does not. It just need kind heart people, strong will people, people who are smart enough to understand the plight of the livelihood of everyone, who want to fight for people. You know, when I spoke to some people, I've been doing works for the community, for the rest of my life, right? Mm-hmm. But whenever I joined politics and I spoke to friends, like, they asked me, why did you join politics? And I say that I really want to fight for people. Rahayu, doesn't everyone in politics say that? That they're fighting for the right of people? So I was being mocked. And my words has become a joke because politicians promises a lot of things, but they don't work for people, you know. I really didn't know how to convince others that I'm a different breed of politicians. Right. While all this while in our country, politics is always a joke. But that is why, right, I keep my politic career very low profile. I really want to start working first. Do all the work on the ground, really work on the ground. And because I believe that leadership is about dirtying your hand, working for the people.
Absolutely.
So I want to do that first. And yes. Then, yeah, let us see whether Malaysians are ready for the new types of politics that your leader is actually not on top of you, but they walk along with you. They are actually the one who serve you, not you serve them. Yeah. I'm waiting for the day.
So do you have any plans, in terms of, because like, you know, at first when you were one of the co-founders of Parti Muda, it was a bit more public in that sense, but you have, like you explained, you know, been a little bit under the radar. But do you still consider it, like, are you still active? It may not be front lines, in front and public, but are you still working within the realms of Parti Muda and all to change the political landscape of Malaysia? Is that something you're still focused on?
I still focus on working for the people. I still support the work of friends in Parti Muda.
Right.
But my main concern right now, Buku Jalanan Coklat, like last year, we got this opportunity, like right now, right, we only occupy like one small level, one floor to ourselves. But last year, late December, we managed to rent the whole building. So it's four floors building. Yeah, so I am really focusing all my energy, all my strength there because we want to start a kopitiam where we want to hire the mothers of childcare, mothers of our children to work with us, creating a business for childcare community where later our undocumented children who study with us, you know, they can learn and how to manage businesses and everything. So that's the plan. And in level two and level three, we are trying to expand our school so we can have a lot other more children to come and join our school. So that, and we are in the process of renovations right now. So all of my energy and focus are there at the moment. Sometimes, right, so how dirty, I'm going to be honest and on a national radio, you know, how dirty our politics is, right, is that people don't want to associate, good people don't want to associate themselves with anything politics at all because by doing that, right, might be there will be a question of integrity and accountability. So I met a few funders who questions my involvement in politics, because right. they said that Rahayu, just focus on what you're doing. You're doing great now. You don't have to join politics. But you know, I believe in something which is quite different as well. Why can't we have a leader who's accountable and have a lot of integrity? Exactly. Why can't we have that? Why can't we have leaders who work for the people and really for the people and not for themselves, not for them, for the wealth and power of themselves? Why can't we move there? Why? So right now, right, while building Buku Jalanan is so important for my children's, right, that I need to sacrifice a little bit of my idealisms and of what I imagine politics can be, I still want to do this, but I don't want to jeopardize Buku Jalan Choke and my children. And I really hope along the way, right, I'll meet friends, collaborators, funder who believe in the change that I want to bring. I really hope.
I really hope so as well, because the work that you're doing is absolutely fantastic, and it would be great, you know, to see you, because I think everyone, you know, when people who do this work, y'all know that, you know, there's only so much you can do, a lot, but at the end of the day, you know, the big change happens at the needs to happen at the policy level, in parliament and things like that. And it's important to have good candidates there. So, you know, I think, you know, people need to be more understanding towards that. Before we wrap this conversation up, Siti, how can the public support Buku Jalanan Chowkit? And also, would you have a final message for us in terms of, you know, just education in Malaysia?
Let us work harder to ensure that every children in Malaysia get access to quality education, regardless whoever they are, regardless of the documentation issues that they have. Because, right, when we were a child, right, we were given a lot of chances. So that is why we are who we are today. So why don't we give chance to every children to receive quality education and happiness of life that we once experienced? And I believe, right, there's always hope for this country, but it starts with each and every one of us. We need to change our own perspective that life is not ours. This life is to be shared with everyone, because, right, if we are only about us, right, do you think we can live alone? We can't. We need to live in the society, and that society need to be a happy, sustainable society where life is amazing each and every day. And in Buku Jalanan Chowkit, right, like I was explaining before, we're trying to expand our space so more children can enjoy whatever is there for children to build themselves, to grow themselves, and to empower themselves, right? Mm-hmm. So I welcome each and every one of you who have all the expertise that you can be together with us at Buku Jalanan in fulfilling these visions. If you want to donate, if you want to have skills that you want to share, anything, we welcome you at any point of time. We can be reached at Facebook, Buku Jalanan Chowkit, Twitter handle, Buku Jalanan Chowkit, I think it's Buku Chowkit, Instagram, Buku Jalanan Chowkit. So basically, if you Google us, you can find Buku Jalanan Chowkit. My final words is that this life is never ours. It's to be shared, and let us build this life together for the betterment of everyone. Thank you very much.
On that note, thank you so much for speaking with me today, Siti. That was Cikgu Siti Rahayu Baharin, one of the co-founders of Buku Jalanan Chowkit. And if you missed any part of this conversation, you can check us out on podcasts. We are available on the BFM app, bfm.my, or pretty much wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm Dashan Johan, and this has been Good Things, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.